up, guys? I am currently sitting in my car, and man, oh man, did I have an incredible experience at WrestleMania 40 yesterday. Not even waiting 2 hours in the parking lot to go get out could put a damper on what I experienced. I'll be putting up some videos in my regular podcast, my life documentary podcast that I share, the Jeff Desiato Show, of our experience there. But I just wanted to give a quick WrestleMania review. I did pretty well in my predictions, if I do say so myself, especially for my first time doing that. But man, oh man, it was electric. Absolutely electric. We got there around 3:30 and we just kind of hung around. By the time we parked and walked there, it was about 4 o'clock. We were able to get in and we ended up standing really close to their pre-show kickoff stage. So we were able to see Michael Cole, CM Punk, Big E, Pat McAfee all come out, hype up the crowd. Got to watch the first half hour or so of the pre-show. And I don't know, I haven't watched it back to see if you can see me. We were pretty close. We may have been in the direct line behind one of the hosts, so depending on the camera angle, we might not be visible. But it was so cool. So cool to see these guys in person. And once we got to our seats, I'm sorry, once the gates opened, we went about 5:30-ish, 5:40, we went to find our seats. We were in the section 224, row 26. We were 5 rows away from the very top row. But I had a blast. It was incredible. I'm not going to complain about anything. But I do want to go through the review here just to measure my predictions and my comments on the outcomes. So let me just see here. I'm getting the match card up. So we had Rhea Ripley defeating Becky Lynch, which is what I predicted would happen. It was a good match. The story is that Becky Lynch had a fever and a strep throat. They put in a good match. It was a great opener. The crowd seemed to be in it. I watched this on television. I know there was a lot of comments about the crowd being dead. I will say that the sound seemed to be not very good. There were times where it seemed like the crowd was like, you could audibly hear them being turned up. So all that to say, I think this match kicked off WrestleMania very well. And the right person won, in my opinion, as much of a Becky Lynch fan as I am. Rhea Ripley is a star. She needs to win. She needs to build those accolades and have great title defenses like this one was. The six-pack ladder match. I was right in my prediction for A-Town Down Under. I was wrong about DIY. I went with DIY more so as that these were Triple H's guys and, you know, the nostalgic fact of, like, them kind of playing up the joke of them being, like, DX, Regeneration X and all that kind of stuff. But the right people won. R-Truth making that WrestleMania moment. It was the right call. I'm excited about that for him. The one I was most wrong about, probably because I recorded my predictions before SmackDown, I did not know that Andrade was going to end up being Rey Mysterio's partner. Even with that being said, I do think the wrong team won. Loved the inclusion of Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson as an Eagles fan, such as myself. But I do feel that I'm starting to wonder if Rey Mysterio, I saw a rumor and people talking about it, but I'm starting to wonder, does Rey Mysterio ever put anybody over? It seems like Santos would have benefited from this win way more than Andrade and Rey Mysterio at this stage. And to have them take the L, obviously there was developments with Andrade taking Dragon Lee's place, Carlito appearing to be slighted. So planting the seeds for a Carlito heel turn, which I think will be great. It was a great platform to get Andrade on board. I'm not somebody who knew much about Andrade because he was gone shortly after I started to follow it again, and I didn't follow AEW. So it was very impressive to watch in the ring. He's got a great look, so I'm interested to see. It was cool to see the reunion of Zelina Vega and him from his time previously with WWE. I just didn't think that the right team won as much as I enjoyed the schmaz finish you know, for lack of a better term. Moving on, Jimmy and Jey Uso is getting a lot of negative reaction. What I said while I was watching it was, this is a story and this match is more for television than for a live audience. It was obvious. They were doing that classic Roman Reigns delivery where they're talking to each other and they're allowing everything to be accentuated to try to further that story of brother versus brother. It just didn't really land, unfortunately. For guys who have been wrestling for 15 years or whatever it is, it wasn't a very impressive showing. And I think the wrong person won, if I'm being honest. I just feel like Jimmy Uso gets nothing out of this, especially based on Night 2's outcome. It'll be interesting to see what they do going forward. The most predictable match went as I expected. Jade, Bianca, and Naomi defeated Dakota, Asuka, and Kairi. Not much to talk about there. It was what it was. It was a showcase for Jade Cargill. And a fun, you know, just kind of let up match, as they say. One of the best matches of the weekend was Sami Zayn versus Gunther. I was shocked to see Gunther lose, if I'm being honest. I thought he would retain. I wasn't sure if Sami Zayn was going to be the guy. As much as I know that Triple H seems to be rewarding the guys who have carried him for the last, you know, those people that were clearly Triple H guys through NXT, and then the work that Sami Zayn did to essentially, if everybody is honest, everybody keeps giving Roman Reigns the flowers for the Bloodline story. The Bloodline story wasn't that interesting until Sami Zayn got into it. That's when it became cinema. Up till that point, if you recall, and there's a lot of revisionist history, it seemed just frustrating to watch up until that point. You're like, what is going on here? These guys are just heels, and it just seems annoying. There's not, like, it wasn't until Sami Zayn joined the group where you started to see the personalities of the individuals really come out. And he was the best addition to that faction because he allowed you to build a relationship with each character individually. You saw sides of Roman that you hadn't seen. You saw sides of Jey and Jimmy that you hadn't seen. And Sami Zayn brought that all out and got us to the point where we really believed that at Elimination Chamber in Montreal that he was a credible opponent to dethrone the Tribal Chief. So I do feel like this win was more of a reward for resurrecting the WWE. This is going to seem like a hot take, but a lot of me, based on my watching and when I really got invested, like, I give Sami Zayn most of the credit for that, because that storyline with him becoming an honorary use was must-see television. Think about the fact, was it the Raw, the 30th anniversary of Raw with the trial of Sami Zayn? Like, that was unreal. You couldn't look away. Every time something was happening, you were on board with it. So I think his win here is more of a acknowledging, for lack of a better term, the work he has done to elevate the company. Did he need it? I don't think so. I think someone else could have benefited maybe from dethroning Gunther. But what I do think this does is it gets Gunther ready for the main event. The reason I thought it would, people were pushing back against Sami being the guy, is because, one, he's had the title 3 times before. Of course, this title is a different title now that Gunther has elevated it to such a level. But also, Sami Zayn is already over with the company, and it's kind of weird that they set up that storyline with Drew McIntyre where Sami was being put down as not world title material, and that was what he was on a mission to correct, that perception of him. So for him to then, the next title he wins, be the Intercontinental title, maybe that's a stepping stone to getting him into the world title picture, just like Gunther now moving on to the world title picture, I would imagine. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes going forward. It was a super entertaining match. Like, absolutely. Gunther, give him his flowers, man. For being as dominant as he is, he also is incredible. An incredible seller. And underrated in storytelling, for sure, because his interactions with Sami's wife in the crowd and everything, just great storytelling all around. It is a little strange in the sense that you wouldn't necessarily see Sami as a guy who could defeat Drew McIntyre or Sheamus necessarily. And he beat the guy who beat both of them. So that part, obviously, you know, you're passing on the rub, as it were, when you're having people go over other people and that kind of thing. So just that's one of the reasons why behind my prediction and why I got it wrong. So far, let's see, I was right about Rhea, half right about the six-pack ladder match, wrong about Rey Mysterio, wrong about Jay and Jimmy, right about Jade and Bianca, wrong about Gunther. So I didn't have a good night one. I did pick Rock and Roman Reigns to win, which that match was fantastic as well. Storytelling out the wazoo. Yeah, just really enjoyed it and what it ultimately set up, which was the night that I was there. So moving on to night two, I think I was 100% accurate in my predictions, which is awesome. First match, electric, coming right out the gate. You think he's going to squash Seth Rollins, hits the Claymore right away, and people just went nuts immediately. The audience was, including myself, were just hot from the beginning. The one part of the equation I got wrong was they actually did have Drew win. And the way they booked it was better than I thought, actually. And then you have Drew, you give him his moment. We were chanting, "You deserve it." He had that moment. They let it sit for a while. And then you see the arrogance, the heelishness of Drew McIntyre come through. And, man, I haven't gotten to go back and watch the broadcast, but I want to hear some of the stuff that was being said between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre that led to CM Punk ultimately getting involved, which was, I mean, the crowd was going nuts, chanting for CM Punk's name. And then Damian Priest cashing in, taking the moment from Drew, hopefully leading to what I had predicted, which was a two-month run for Damian Priest. I think this is going to be a case where the belt elevates the guy a little bit. And then hopefully Drew gets his win in Scotland. And he can be a situational babyface in that match, obviously. So, fantastic. Philadelphia Street Fight. I did say, I believe, in my predictions that I thought it would be Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, but I thought the better choice would be the Final Testament going over. I still stand by that because the Final Testament just looks like garbage. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits were already over. They don't get much by beating the Final Testament. The match was what it was. It was in the right spot because everyone was coming down. There was some issues with the lights blinding people, and that's what the chanting you heard on the broadcast where people were saying, "Turn the lights off," etc. All in all, it was a nice match to kind of just like pay attention, sort of, was what ended up happening. But Lashley and the Street Profits won, so I did get that one right as well, even begrudgingly so. LA Knight, AJ Styles, a great match. The crowd was completely behind LA Knight. Any concern about him cooling off? I mean, the crowd just loves him. He's over like Rover. And he was the guy who should have won that match. And hopefully it leads him on to bigger and better things. He's definitely a Triple H guy more than a Vince McMahon guy. All I have to say are the words Max Dupree to prove that. And I'm hoping that Triple H will elevate him into the United States title match, segueing perfectly into the triple threat match. It ended exactly the way I thought, Logan Paul retaining. I think this sets up really well. I heard someone say Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, even though they ended up fighting each other, they could either go into a rivalry, which would be fantastic to tie the two of them up, maybe through SummerSlam. The more interesting thing is because of the A-Town Down Under winning the titles in the ladder match, you could have a begrudging relationship continue with RKO and KO and have them tag team to win the titles from A-Town Down Under and Grayson Waller. That would be equally interesting. And then you have Logan Paul, obviously, with A-Town Down Under as a loose faction, which would be cool too. And then you could throw Pretty Deadly in that mix, and you have a lot of different things that you could do. But it was the right move in my mind for Logan Paul retaining, a great match. Crowd loves to hate Logan Paul. He loves to be hated. Just great old wrestling, in my opinion. Bayley beating Io Sky. A great match. A couple moves that I'm watching and I'm going, how are these people not actually hurting themselves? Not because they looked particularly brutal, but just dangerous. And Bayley finally getting that big moment at WrestleMania on her own was the right call. Not having damage control interfere, I think, was good because it was just about Bayley getting her moment. We'll see what happens going forward. There may be some more to do with damage control in that regard. And then finally, the match of all matches, in my opinion. Now, I lost my voice. You might not be able to hear it now. I lost my voice watching this match. I was freaking out from the opening bell. A great match between Cody and Roman, even before all of the interference and everything. The only thing that would have made this match better is if Stone Cold had been there. And that's the elephant in the room, so I'll just mention that. Everyone was expecting, as opposed to the gong, hearing the glass shatter. But when I was there, the gong, it blew the roof off the stadium. So that is just as acceptable, in my opinion. And sorry, I got distracted there, but it was unbelievable. When John Cena's music hit, or when Jay's music hit, the crowd went nuts. When John Cena's music hit, the crowd went nuts. When Cody kicked out of the spear spike combination, the crowd went nuts. The Rock coming out, the crowd goes nuts. The face down between John Cena and The Rock, incredible. The gong and everything going dark, and then the lights coming back up and the Undertaker being in the ring. People were losing their minds. I was screaming so loud and so hard, my family was worried about me. I wasn't doing it on purpose. It was just instinct to react that way. And then finally, Cody Rhodes, the three crossroads, and he gets his moment. If you find the video of Samantha Irvin doing the call and her voice breaking because she was in tears and emotional and happy for Cody Rhodes, incredible. One of the top three, if you take away like family events, like weddings, childbirths, just experiences that I've had, one of the top three experiences of my life, easily. I mean, I was so elated and there was such a release that I felt watching that event and being able to say that I was there for what is undoubtedly one of, if not the best WrestleMania ending. This rivals, if not eclipses, Daniel Bryan's win in WrestleMania 30. I know that's recency bias, but the involvement and the story that led to it and the involvement of all of these legends, it was just, oh man, it was popcorn. It was what makes pro wrestling great. My friend texted me and said, pro wrestling is the best when that event was over. And I concur. It is now, for me, the best form of entertainment because I can lose myself in it. I don't have to worry about the politics of it or the contracts and the things. Like, pro sports has gotten so commercialized, but there's something, and while wrestling is what it is, we all admit that it's rigged. We all know that. So that you can just leave that at the door and, you know, you never get as crushed when your guy doesn't win because you're like, all right, where's the story going? That's why I enjoy it so much. And that's why I loved it. So that is my review. I'll come back around. We have the Raw after WrestleMania to look forward to, and I'll give you my thoughts. I don't know how often I'm going to do this. Maybe once a week just to surmise the Monday and Friday night shows. I'm not really into NXT. I may start watching NXT eventually. But for now, it'll just be Raw and SmackDown and then premium live events as they come. So thanks a lot. If you listen to this, I appreciate it. Have a great day.